Yes, a very big hello to you and welcome to another edition of Tech Plus. Back together, Kane joins us in studio today. It's been it was so weird last week because obviously I was sick, I couldn't make it, and then you presented it very short notice, but you did a good job.
Thank you.
Well done. How did it feel to sit all alone and do it?
It's actually very interesting, and I've been working on some stuff for the YouTube channel where I'm making videos and things like that. And I've been trying to correlate the difference between how it is on the tech show and how it is making a video. And it felt very akin to the mindset and the frame of mind and all that sort of stuff that you're in when you're making a YouTube video.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And
yeah.
It's so interesting how much being in a conversation can change how you think.
It's much different when it's the two of us, because we keep bouncing off each other.
Exactly.
And when you're all alone, it's like a bird sitting on a perch, you know.
And I saved some of our best stories for this week, because there's some really good stuff to take a look at.
Was it a good week for tech?
Good week for tech, and also a little bit of bad, but that's how tech goes, you know. The ups and the downs, the Netflix and the Titanics.
Yeah, it's also been a good week for Johnny Depp, because he won.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that, so I'm sure his fans are pleased, you know.
Yeah, no, there was some good support.
That's been going on for 6 weeks. I think it's about time that it has to wrap up. And he's also pocketing $15 million in damages.
Yeah.
Ex-wife's getting $2 million.
it went in the wrong direction.
Yeah, that was a very public thing. But I mean, that was even worse than the Kardashians. But it was real. Not like the Kardashians, it's all scripted. But anyway, from the Kardashians, back to tech. What are we starting with, Kane?
So the first thing we're taking a look at, and we spoke about something similar a few weeks ago. It's the evolution of being able to experience technology in different ways. We spoke about VR headsets, right? And how being able to transition into a three-dimensional space is changing the way we can do things and what we can do and how we plan for things and all that sort of stuff. Now, the next phase of that essentially is, well, if you have a big VR headset on your head, right? And you think back to when we had a big brick cell phone.
Yeah.
A big cell phone that, you know, was chunky and it couldn't do as much as some of the smartphones of today.
You had to pull out the aerial.
Exactly. Now, imagine how 5, 10, 15 years is going to change the way that we step into like a VR environment.
Yeah.
Right? Will it be a pair of glasses? Some people are working on just some sunnies that you can wear, and it covers your eyes and you can go into VR. But even more than that, it brings us onto something that I always thought would be science fiction. Imagine you could have a digital contact lens, right? You can put a contact lens in.
Oh, a contact lens.
And you're able to actually see information in front of you that's being displayed off the contact lens. You would think that's science fiction, right?
Does it exist or not yet?
It does exist. It's there's a real world working version that's out right now. So imagine, you know, you have to make a speech, but instead of looking down at your notes, the words scroll in front of your eyes, whatever direction you look at, right? So that would be like an example of one of the things that you can do. But that's just one of the many features that the makers of smart contact lenses promise will be available in the future. I mean, for example, imagine you're a musician with lyrics or your chords in front of your eyes, or you're an athlete and you have your biometrics and your distance and other information you need. And that's something that Steve Sinclair said from Mojo, which is developing what they call smart contact lenses.
Wow. Right?
And his company is about to embark on a comprehensive testing of smart contact lenses on humans that'll give the wearer a heads-up display that appears to float in front of their eyes. So they've got an example of some of the information that you would see if you were wearing this contact lens. And there's someone at an airport, and on the right-hand side of your field of view, it tells you, you know, this is your flight number, this gate.
Nice.
You board in 1 hour, 30 minutes. Here's an image for you to take a look at.
Right. Oh, wow. Okay. So that's like in those movies, those science fiction movies.
Yeah, where they have like a heads-up display.
Where the people see all the stuff running and all the digits running. I'm sure you can even get like previews of messages on your phone that's beamed to your digital contact lens.
No, I think you would definitely have that. And would you wear it? I don't know if I want one to wear, because what's got to be in the lens? It's got to be LEDs.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
There's got to be battery.
Will you be able to see that somebody's wearing it?
I don't know.
Or does it, is it completely transparent?
But you 100% have micro LEDs and a battery on your eye.
That's like, a bit scary.
There's chemicals in a battery, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
It's a bit concerning.
Yeah, no, test it out first and they will see how it goes.
Yeah, and Microsoft is obviously working on a military contract to create augmented reality heads-up displays for you know, like a person who's going into a combat zone or something like that. And imagine that technology eventually shifts into contact lenses. And 20 years of development can go a long way. I mean, you could push a button on your phone and suddenly you have an infrared vision, you know, or night vision or thermal vision. And depending on, you know, what you need to do or what you need to accomplish, that can be some very usable technology that really changes the way we work dramatically. There are also a company that's working on a contact lens because a lot of people can have trouble with their eyes and the chemical composition and things that are going on. So you also have contact lenses now that will sit on your eye and actually monitor your eye and read chemical balance levels and retina information and all that sort of stuff, and help doctors and things further diagnose these kinds of issues. And I think that's really exciting technology, and I can't wait to see it fully developed.
Yeah.
On to our next thing. Are you ready for this?
I have to test it first.
Remember we spoke about Netflix's anti-password sharing kind of mechanisms that they were putting in place in like Peru and that sort of stuff to test out?
Mm-hmm.
Well, The Verge went out and conducted a survey to see, you know, who's been, what has it been like being in Peru and Netflix telling you, you know, what kind of notifications do you get? What kind of penalties do you incur? So users in Peru have said that they have been notified. Some users in Peru say they haven't been notified about the changes. Netflix's test to crack down on password sharing has reportedly left some users confused, according to a report from Rest of the World. The streaming service started experimenting with this password sharing solution in not only Peru, but also Chile and Costa Rica in March, prompting subscribers in these markets to pay an additional fee to enable streaming for others outside their household who use the same account. When they were speaking to over a dozen Netflix subscribers in Peru, Rest of World found that most users weren't formally made aware of the policy change through an email or a notification sent by Netflix. Not even 2 months out from Netflix's initial announcement, the outlet also learned that Netflix's level of enforcement varied from user to user, with some users on shared accounts reporting that they ignored validation prompts without any penalty, and other users told them that they never got any word of any policy change and continued to share their account without an issue. So it seems like a very subtle reinforcement of the password sharing, whereby instead of enforcing an action, they're notifying all their subscribers to add additional people onto their plan, which costs about $2.50 for each additional member outside of your household that's watching Netflix. And they're not really enforcing it. So they made a big kind of talk about it, but there's no kind of reinforcement.
Yeah.
And Netflix says they're happy with the development of this program so far, which means people are getting this notification and actually setting up sub-user accounts.
I got a notification from Netflix this week.
Really?
It said, please come back. Or something, we miss you.
We miss you.
One of those, because obviously I cancelled my Netflix just for the time being until they can give us a better offering when it comes to content. And I'm obviously still loving my Disney Plus, eh?
It is really good.
I can't fault it. There's an amazing selection of stuff there. You can't possibly go through all of it.
I know, and a lot of people are saying Netflix is dying, but they had a final swing. A final right hook. They just broke a new world record on Netflix. And it was the release of a new season of a series that exists on Netflix that broke all the records, clocking it at 286.7 million hours views, which surpassed the last record, which was Bridgerton, which brought in 103 million hours viewed.
And what was the series called?
Can you guess?
Is it Ozark?
No.
Because I know Ozark also did very well with those ratings. But wait, on Netflix.
You'll notice as soon as I say it. You'll be like, oh, that makes sense.
It's a big series.
Big series. One of the biggest Netflix exclusives. Maybe 4 years ago.
4 years ago?
Stranger Things.
Oh, yes, of course. But the people were waiting for so long for new shows, for that new season for Stranger Things. It was like 3 years they had to wait for the new season or something.
So now,
it was worth the wait.
So now it reached number one in 83 countries and reached top 10 in 93 countries.
Wow. Well, you know, we just mentioned Disney Plus. Disney Plus had some problems this week on Tuesday afternoon. Didn't notice because I don't watch in the afternoons. I only watch at night. There was an error popping up saying something went wrong, and then the other error was called Jason Input. J-S-O-N Input. And then people was like, they were saying like, who's this Jason guy? And why is he causing an error? Well, Disney said, obviously people were, you know, writing a lot of stuff online and complaining. And then DSTV, Disney PR answered and said they experienced a brief technical issue that resulted in the Disney Plus app being temporarily down, and it was quickly identified and resolved, and they apologized.
The interesting thing there is a JSON file or a JSON file is actually a file which instructs, you know, your computer on things to do or tells the app information that it needs in order to take the next step.
So that's this JSON thing.
That's JSON. That's JSON.
Okay, well, JSON was fixed.
So, yeah, and I've noticed some things with Disney Plus. I don't know if you've noticed it, but the streaming quality and the consistent aspect of that stream quality I've noticed is not as robust as Netflix. I've noticed that there's a lot more buffering.
People have complained. They said when they switch to full HD, then they get more buffering on Disney Plus.
And it's bad buffering.
I think that's a server thing.
It must be, because I've been running fiber and...
Yeah, it's a server thing. No, definitely. I don't know if it's just South Africa.
You know, it's not like every day you go and you perfectly stream on YouTube, perfectly stream on Netflix, and then go to Disney Plus and you have buffering. And it's akin, because if you go use one of those websites that let you watch movies for free, which have terrible quality, you'll know that they have lots of buffering.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that a lot of people in South Africa have signed up for Disney Plus, and Disney Plus hasn't set up South African infrastructure properly to maintain all those users streaming at once.
We're getting it from, servers that are very, very far away.
Yeah.
But now that we're talking about TV, when we come back, you want to tell us about DSTV. They did something this week. They cut channels.
Yes.
And people aren't happy about it because they actually like those channels.
And there's Bokit with just those channels on.
And now they've got nothing.
Yeah, well, that's the question, ain't it?
Shame. Okay, well, let's listen to some music. Here's Why Don't We with Just Friends. Why Don't We and Just Friends on Tech Plus. A message on the WhatsApp line from Rainier saying, imagine you are drunk and you're trying to use those contact lenses.
Oh, no.
Ooh, that's going to be a problem. Seeing all this data and stuff flying around in your face and you don't even know where you are. that's a funny take there, Rainier. Very, very funny indeed. But, Kane, what's happening there with Titanic?
Multi-Choice Group, the Multi-Choice Group has cut some of their most South African specific channels, you know, your low budget kind of channels, like four of ETV's own channels basically were the total, and it includes eExtra, eMovies, eMovies Extra, and eToons. E-Media took Multi-Choice to the Competition Tribunal in April to seek relief after a renewed channel supply agreement between the parties saw the pay TV provider opting not to carry the four channels any longer. And to make matters worse, no reason was provided for the ruling by the Competition Tribunal.
So they just cut it.
Yeah.
So the people were still watching and then all of a sudden, boom.
Yeah.
Gone. So they cut all E everything.
Extra, eMovies, eMovies Extra, and eTunes.
So if it starts,
they didn't have the best names.
If it starts with an E, it was cut. Oh dear.
Mnet's there like, thank goodness.
Yeah.
M.
Yeah. But I'm sure the people weren't happy, eh? Because, you know, some people are fans of those channels. They actually watch those channels, especially on the lower bouquets.
Well, you have some bouquets that cost like 20, 30, 40 rand a month, and they are basically only those channels.
And now you only have SABC to watch. I mean, that's horrible.
To cut those, you know, to cut those out from you. And I've seen, you know, you browse SABC 1, 2, and 3, and you hope that E Extra, or E-Movies, or E-Movies Extra, or something is there to watch.
Do you remember when we only had SABC, being a 90s kid, or late 90s, I think, when we only had SABC? So you only had SABC 1, 2, and 3, and then ETV came along, and it was this brand new channel, but it wasn't even running 24 hours a day. It was just, it started, I think, 4 o'clock in the afternoon or something. And it was so exciting, because they had all, they had all the good movies and stuff, eh? And did you see ETV, eh? It's so cool, and it's free, I can't believe it. Do you remember?
And it's crazy how much it's changed now to being like, a lot of people have negative opinions on those channels.
Yeah, but I think their target market has changed a lot.
It has. It has. And it's affordable, being able to afford at least some sort of entertainment if you have a very low income. That's great.
ETV was nice because it had these different news bulletins, different presenters, nice programs like Madam and Eve. And then they started making their own soapies as well. It was just a nice channel. It was something new, something fresh.
And I feel like those kind of moves, especially when you're, you know, when you're hit, because the people that are paying the low amounts, this is like a large percentage of their viewable content.
Yeah, exactly.
And now you have your 30 Rand Netflix subscription, or I think it's 60 Rand Netflix subscription for mobile viewing. Mm. You know, that mobile Netflix subscription.
Yeah.
That becomes a lot more feasible. If you only have 50, 100 Rand a month to spend on it, you're not going to stick around at DSTV anymore. So it's actually quite weird,
so
that they target
more people now.
Yeah, they target the lowest, if they remove sport, they're done.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Somebody said that's their lifeline. If they had to lose that exclusivity of sport with Super Sport, it's over. People are just holding on to DSTV for that sport coverage because they can't get it elsewhere, or they don't know how to get it elsewhere.
And the quality that comes across is very nice. You can watch sport online and things like that, but there's not very great quality.
And then you've got all these weird ads popping up.
Yeah,
and it buffers and stuff. So you pay for the sport. So you gotta love your sport if you still have a DSTV subscription.
If I watched a lot of sport, I would have DSTV.
But there will be a day. There's going to be a day where they're going to lose that exclusivity on the rugby and all that stuff that they're showing. Somebody else is going to get it.
Yeah,
on a better and cheaper deal.
Or they'll build a model that makes it cheap and affordable and only sport. You know, maybe they become an only sport provider.
Exactly. Because remember, are you seeing a gap in the market? because, you know, at the moment, if you want to watch all the sports coverage on DSTV, you have to pay almost 1,000 Rand a month. And that's a lot of money for people, for your average middle class home.
That's a lot of money, you know.
Yeah, 1,000 Rand a month to watch sport. You must really like it. No, I don't think it's worth it.
I think, you know, if you're the type of a family who likes to sit down on the weekends and watch a sport and have your braai and really go at it, that's not that expensive. It's 250 Rand a weekend to have great weekends. Like, if you love sport.
But then you must split the bill.
Split the bill.
250 a person.
Yeah,
to watch sport.
This weekend we're all going to, this month we're all going to this person's house because it's his turn to pay.
Yeah. Oh geez. Okay, so that's the latest on the Titanic. Thank you, Kane.
Do you know what else has also been a big shift in tech at the moment? Meta COO Sheryl Sandberg is now stepping down after 14 years.
Oh wow.
But,
why?
Well, I think she evolved. Facebook evolved past her because she's like the absolute champion of building ad models, like the one that Facebook uses. She was actually responsible for building most of Facebook's ad revenue model service, the way that you can go to Facebook and you can advertise and you manage your campaigns and you can target people. She helped Mark Zuckerberg build that back when Mark Zuckerberg was 24 years old.
Oh wow.
And she built it with him all the way over the last 14 years. And before Facebook, she worked at Google Ads. And she built
Google Ads.
Most of Google Ads' ad network.
So she must have a lot of money. That's why she's retiring now.
Well, she must have a lot of money. And here, and here's the lowdown on it. So she'll step down as the CEO, where she was the second ranking executive, where she helped scale Facebook into the social media juggernaut it is today. Sandberg will leave her post as the company's number two leader in the fall after spending the next few months working with founder and CEO Mark Zuckerberg to transition her direct reports, and she will retain a seat on Meta's board. So she's staying on the board. No one is directly replacing her role, and Zuckerberg has another guy, Yavi Olivan, who will be taking over as a more traditional COO role. But that's Meta, right? And they're making some big moves into virtual reality. I didn't realize how big of a move they were making until I already stood using Facebook's Oculus Quest 2. When I used that headset, I can see why they're literally pumping billions into securing that market share, because it's going to be absolutely massive.
But Kane, they need to not forget the smaller stuff as well. I mean, they're spending all that money and focusing on developing all these fancy things, but they can't get the basics right. Like, for example, last night I tried to schedule a post on using Meta Business Suite.
Yes.
And it didn't want to schedule. It just said something went wrong.
And you couldn't get it right.
No, and then, like, everything just disappeared. So it shows you have no scheduled post, but you just did, you just posted or scheduled a post. And it happened on two of the pages that I manage, and just says something went wrong. It's like the app just kind of, it's not getting, I don't know, not getting data or something. And then I Googled it, and apparently it is a bug. It keeps showing up every now and then. But I mean, can't their developers just focus on stuff like that, you know? Get the basics right.
No, they need to get the basics right. But what's actually very interesting is, coming from an advertiser's background on Facebook, having advertised on the platform before and also built pages and managed them for different clients and things like that, one of the things that I can definitely say about Facebook on the back end side, like when you go into the business manager, you go into your ad manager, it's like, when you know, when you have 10 friends come around and all plug in their computer, and then you look at the heap of cables.
Yeah,
and
man,
it's just cables going everywhere, left, right.
Come land at my place,
Brick. And that's what it feels like on the Facebook back end. It feels like there's just so much stuff that
too much happening, yeah.
And like they don't have it all together. It's very, feels very disorganized, and it's difficult to work in the back end.
But they keep changing that back end.
It
have
is.
You noticed,
yep,
like your analytics and the business manager or business suite, as they call it now, they keep changing it.
They do, and I think it's the process of trying to neaten it up, because it's
no,
you have you have like Facebook business accounts, and then under those Facebook business accounts you have Facebook ad accounts, and then under that, and then on the other side of it you have you have assets, and those are pages, and you have to connect them with the ads account and connect them with the business manager.
Oh,
share
word.
Admin access.
It's too much.
It's a
known error, by the
problem.
Way, but it showed its face again now, and it's just so annoying, because you just, it really, it messes up your productivity.
I know.
If you're working in that back end. Anyway, staying with Facebook, I see they are looking at, well, it looks like it's about to roll out soon. Obviously, Facebook owns, or Meta, Facebook company, owns WhatsApp. And now WhatsApp is getting an editing message feature. So you can write a message to somebody and then, ooh, oops, I made a spelling mistake. Edit, and then you can edit it. I'm sure they can also, like on Facebook, when you comment and you edit that comment, you can see the history of it. So you can see what the person wrote initially. So I'm wondering if that's going to be the same, because, I mean, it can create some problems, I think. No, I didn't say that. You know, no, I didn't say that. Oh, no, let me check your edit history. Yes, you did say that.
I wonder if it would. I wonder two things. Number one, will there be an edit history? Because that probably would
be
there.
Be, yeah.
I would put that in.
Yeah.
Because so, there's going to be a lot of arguments, you
yeah.
know.
I didn't say that.
Husband tells wife, please fetch, you know, these five things from the grocery store, comes back, realizes there's not something there, he goes and adds a He's like, how did you forget? It's right here.
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly. Yeah, no, there must be an editing.
There must be a history of all the different edits. Mm. And I wonder if they'll, because on WhatsApp, when you send a message, you have like a couple minutes to, or like 15 minutes to delete it for yourself and for the other person.
Yeah.
I wonder if there'll be a time frame. Like if an amount of time passes since a message was sent, you can't edit it anymore.
That's a good question. Well, it's going to roll out soon. I think it's already available to beta users. So if you're lucky enough to be one of the people on that beta program, then you already have that functionality.
Start
we don't have it yet.
To other people. You start editing them. You can edit the messages they can't. That can be fun.
And I'm wondering if most people will be able to... Will they know how to check the edit history, you know?
Yeah, it has to be easy to find.
Do you have to highlight it and then press info? Not all people can do that. So I'm wondering how... That's going to be interesting. Let's see what happens in the next month or two.
And you know, there's been a few times that a WhatsApp chat history has been used in like a legal case.
Oh, yes.
Now, imagine, you know, you said something and you go and edit something and then they go and bring it up in court. You know, you sent the message and then you edited the message. Why, you know...
It's going to be
some drama in the courthouse.
There's going to be drama because I'm telling you. It's a nice setup for drama.
So next we're taking a look at, I think, a problem that is never actually tried to be dealt with properly. And I don't even think this is the solution to it, but it does bring to mind what is the best solution for this problem. And I'm sure everyone understands it. You know, you take a perfectly straight, nice, organized headphone your headphone cables.
Yeah.
You put them carefully into a bundle. You put them in your pocket, and they come out with 30 knots.
Like Christmas lights.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It never comes out the way it goes in.
Definitely.
And now there's been a few you know, third party companies that have developed some tangle free magnetic USB cables.
Oh yeah.
And USB-C cables. So. Basically, the thing is, like, what if your cable could magnetically stick to itself, forming a neat coil that doesn't get, you know, all tangled and stuff. So how it works is every few centimeters or every few, tens of centimeters, there's a magnet that's on the cable. And you can literally just quickly wrap it up into, you know, you can quickly and easily... just turn it into a coil.
Hey, that's nice.
Like you would do with like a hose pipe, you know, when you put it around your elbow, but it would just automatically go in, and it would make the process of, you know, of keeping your cables organized much, much easier. And the few people from The Verge actually tested these cables, and they said, you know, the utility is great. They can use it. It's also magnetic. So any ferrous metal, you could basically make, you know, that cable stick to it. And for you with like your mic arm stand, you could literally run a cable up your mic arm stand and it would stay there magnetically.
Oh, nice.
You know, that's quite cool.
I wouldn't mind that. Yeah, sometimes the cables get all
tangled. They say the problem is the quality of the cable isn't really good.
Oh, no.
So
no, that's a
not good
deal breaker
speed.
For me. Because that cable, the quality is very important because that affects your output and everything.
Yeah, but like, come on, Samsung. You know, come on, Apple. It's a magnet on a cable. It is not complicated. Just do it, you know. It's not like crazy maths going into the solution. It's such a few magnets on a cable and it works really well. Why are top corporations not building this? Is your 50 cent magnet too much? You know, like, you already don't give me a brick when I buy my phone. You could at least give me a cable with R3 worth of magnets
on. Exactly.
You know, so that I thought was quite cool, you know, solving problems we don't really consider, you know, as problems. They're kind of taken as granted. That's the end of that. Are we jumping into a music break?
Yes. What have you got for us when we come back?
When we come back, we're taking a look at a SA-based wellness startup, which just opened an office in the UK. So they've just transitioned globally.
Uh-huh.
And the product that they've built, I think, is really cool.
Oh, you're not going to tell us.
Not yet.
Only after the Chainsmokers with their new song called I Love You. Brand new music by the Chainsmokers. It's called I Love You. We love tech here on Tech Plus. That's why we do it every single week, and we look at all the biggest tech stories of the week. And Kane, he's got our next story.
Now, this is something I think is really cool. Now, with remote work, right, with this becoming more and more prominent, and it's subsiding slightly thanks to COVID restrictions being eased and things like that. It's getting a little bit easier. But ultimately, even, you know, 60-hour work weeks in the office, you know, they curate and cultivate unhealthy lifestyles.
Mm.
You know, sitting in front of your computer all day. And, you know, people would think, yeah, but I've chosen this for myself. This is what I want to do. And that's perfectly fine. But as a business owner, you want to make sure your staff is as healthy as possible. Because the healthier your staff, the better the mind, the greater your business.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. You know,
healthy mind, healthy body. Healthy body, healthy mind. Yeah.
So a startup out of South Africa, an SA employee wellness startup in South Africa called Strove, which goes by Healthier People, Stronger Business, is a South African health technology startup, which was founded in 2020 by triathlete and business science graduate Chris Burcheson. The activity-based web and mobile application empowers organizations to inspire their employees to live a healthy and active lifestyle, combating inactivity, burnout, and chronic stress. This is a Cape Town headquartered startup, and they say they're on a mission to create healthier businesses globally through healthier employees by providing a well-being platform that proactively assists workers with their physical and mental well-being. In the 18 months since its inception, Strove has grown to a team of over 20 people, gained a strong foothold in the South African market, and recently launched in the UK. Its first British customer recently went live, right? So they just transitioned to the UK, and this is our blood, you know, this is from South Africa. This is a South African initiative for a fully global application.
Wow.
Right?
Well done.
And they also go on to say that our expansion to the UK greatly increases the number of lives we can change with the power of scalable digital technology. Many corporate employees spend more time at the office than they do in their own beds. Unfortunately, all this work and no play is playing havoc with their mental and physical health. Strove is about returning balance to the lives of employees so they can unlock health, happiness, and in turn creativity and productivity. And it's true. You know, when I specifically have, you know, my 100-hour work weeks where it's like crazy, you know, many, many hours going into the week, one or two activities of physical exercise or exertion or fresh air changes the way that you handle that stress and the way that you handle that low number of personal hours.
Yeah.
And to create an app which you can implement to your employee base, you know, whether they're 15 people or 150 people, and help them ascertain a healthier lifestyle by making it possible for them to get that hour and be rewarded for doing things like that. Just like Discovery's plans, you know, with being able to go to Woolworths and getting discounts when you buy healthy food.
I think that's nice. That
kind of logic is really cool. Now, in Discovery's thing, when they're trying to make people more healthy, they're making people less sick. They're an insurance company. They have to pay less, right? It's a win-win. But for Strove, their whole business model revolves around healthier people. And I think it's so cool to see this plug and play solution where you can actually, you know, have a business and improve the productivity and creativity and overall well-being of all the employees by moving and transitioning over onto something like this application. And it's so cool that it came out of South Africa, you know, changing real world problems. If it continues untended to for 20, 30 years, we're talking generational damages that could be created from the lack of an active and a healthy lifestyle.
It's so true. But you know, now people get back into their cars and go back to work, but some I've noticed some companies not 5 days a week anymore, like Monday to Friday. They only go in like twice a week, for example, to attend the meetings. But I'm glad you mentioned that, because it blends in so beautifully with the next story. According to Colin Erasmus, he's the director of Modern Workplace and Security at Microsoft South Africa, more and more people are walking away from jobs that they believe are not serving them the way they should. He said, "We're simply not the same people that went home to work in early 2020. Employees in South Africa are rethinking what they want from work and voting with their feet when these new expectations are met." That's what he said in the Business Tech article. With that said, more and more employees have now started questioning the necessity of driving to work daily with the increasing petrol price. Some saying, you know, can we at least work at home now because the petrol is too expensive? I mean, what's the use of commuting to work every morning and it basically equals your salary in costs, you know? Yes. Why are you going to work then?
Yeah, if you're not being subsidized for petrol, it's no
exactly.
Silly mistake.
So more and more people are approaching their bosses and saying, please, can we work at home again? Or just a few days a week, can we work at home in the cities, of course, because petrol's too expensive.
Understandably so, you know.
Yeah.
But do you know what Elon Musk has to say about this? It's actually perfectly.
What is he sending us a satellite to help us or something?
So Elon Musk has now reportedly declared no remote work is no longer remote work is no longer acceptable at Tesla.
You're no longer acceptable, Mr. Musk.
Yeah, this is what we're getting into
hey,
now.
That's not cool.
So he's had a little bit of. Sometimes he has these ups and downs.
Well, but we're not always rich as you, Elon.
Yeah. And he's just ordered his company execs to spend at least 40 hours in the office. So Musk goes on to say, Tesla CEO Musk has taken a hardline stance against his employees working from home. Electric and Bloomberg reported in an email apparently sent to the company's executive staff with the subject line, remote work is no longer acceptable. The CEO said employees must spend a minimum of 40 hours per week in the office or else depart Tesla. Okay. He said this should be a main Tesla office and not a remote branch office.
I suppose it depends on where you work, you know. If you have to be there in person, you can't run certain things, you can't run from home.
Yeah.
You just have to be there in person. So I suppose it depends, you know.
So he obviously sent out an email to all of his execs saying this, and that email got leaked. Mm. So when it got leaked, obviously people started speaking about it. So responding to a screenshot of the alleged email posted to Twitter, Musk did not deny its authenticity and wrote that anyone who disagrees with the policy of coming into the office should pretend to work somewhere else. They should pretend to work somewhere else. If they don't want to come into the office, he says they should pretend to go work somewhere else. So I think, and remember, this is his execs. These are guys that he wants. It's not just a normal staff member.
Oh, okay. No, right? Now it makes more sense.
It makes more sense.
Yeah.
The media doesn't like to focus on that little specific.
Yeah,
right?
So they're kind of saying all employees.
Yeah.
Because that's what I thought when
but
you
remember,
told me.
But remember, he has factory workers.
Yeah.
They don't. Yeah. Pull me a car remotely. I'll give you a car if you can.
You'll operate the machinery from home, imagine.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So Tesla did not respond to The Verge's request for a comment, but it is but is widely reported to have dissolved its press release. So yeah, he just literally said they should pretend to work somewhere else. One tweet. That's all he said. You know, in response to that person's email. And in his email, the CEO added that he would be willing to consider requests to work remotely under some circumstances, but indicated that such requests would have to be exceptional to be approved. If there are particularly emotional contributors for whom this is impossible, I will review and approve those exceptions directly, he wrote. Working 40 hours in person, he said, is less than we ask of factory workers. In a follow-up email seen by Electric, the CEO claimed his own history of almost living in the Tesla factory was the reason behind the company's survival. The more senior you are, the more visible must be your presence. There are, of course, companies that don't require this, but when was the last time they shipped a great new product? It's been a while. And it, I must say, it is true. You know, your senior staff, they need to be present. They need to be there.
Yeah, now that we've got all the context, you know,
But it's also, remember, there's the execs. They're not blind. They can see Twitter. So I think there's some inside drama as well.
I'm sure.
In regards to people saying they're working and they're actually not. And him getting frustrated because he's missed a deadline or something like that.
He is missed a deadline.
And Elon is very, like, he wears Twitter on his sleeve, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
like,
but, but listen, he hasn't, he didn't buy it. Not yet.
Not yet.
There's a dispute now on robots on Twitter, who's real and who's not. And, you know, they're trying to figure out, is Twitter really worth all that money? Because a lot of the people are bots.
Yeah.
I'm seeing more and more bots as well. I thought they were normal people, but they retweet everything you're saying with certain keywords. And, I mean, that's weird. How many of these robots are on Twitter?
Yeah.
Maybe more than human beings.
It's artificial intelligence making its own content and posting it. It is scary.
But you know, before we get to a music break, do you know what is really cool? Do you want to know about a really cool job? How's this for a job? There's a South African company that will pay you 10,000 rand, probably per month, to play a game.
Which game?
Cast.co.za is looking for an avid gamer who is also familiar with software that simulates real racing. The company is seeking to break into the gaming market by offering one lucky gamer the chance to earn 10k a month for gaming. The money comes as part of a sponsorship deal to play at the ATK Pro Racing GT Series, which is one of South Africa's biggest e-sporting events.
Wow.
So only one person will be able to get this job. Not many people, just one person. And they'll announce the winner on social media on the 6th of June. Cars.co.za.
I mean, 10k a month's not bad, eh?
It's just for playing a game.
Yeah, it's not bad if you don't have
it. It's all right.
I mean, if you're already dedicated and you're like, either I get this 10k a month or I give up, don't give up, because you can earn that amount of money creating content.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you can do. But if you are a guy who's genuinely talented at that, that's your hobby, you're not earning a lot of money, or you have free time,
go to cars.co.za and go and apply or do whatever you have to do. What have you got first when we come back?
When we come back from the break, we're going to take a look again at Elon Musk, who was questioned about how much spying is going on in terms of people looking at other people's phones, technology that's peering in, and his thoughts on what people might be doing to him, and if anybody's spying on him. So he's made a statement about that. And then we're also going to take a look at South Africa's top ISPs have been rated for the latest ratings have come in. And finally, scientists managed to grow cells on a robot skeleton, but they don't know what to do with them yet. So we're going to take a look at that.
When we come back, here's One Republic. I ain't worried about it. I like that kind of mindset. I think it's a mindset you need to survive in these times that we're living in. It's One Republic, and now we're about to wrap it up here on Tech Plus. Kane, what have you got for us next?
So next, Elon Musk made a statement. He said he would not be shocked if he's not being spied on.
Yeah, right, I'm sure now he's being spied on.
And it's actually very interesting, because recently, Elon Musk made a statement that, he didn't even make a statement. Someone was tracking his private flights.
Oh, dear.
His private flights, where he was going. And he offered the guy $5,000 to stop it. To stop tracking his flight.
Sure.
He didn't like it. And he tracked it all on Twitter and stuff like that. And then he made a statement. He's like, I'll give you $5,000. Please just stop tracking my personal flights. Like,
sure.
That's pretty dangerous, you know. Like,
it is,
if you think about it. Just voicing, Elon's on the way to land here, you know.
Yeah, that is a bit creepy.
That is creepy and dangerous. So let's go a bit deeper here. So this was from San Francisco. So tech billionaire Elon Musk on Tuesday emphasized that he would be shocked if he comes to know that he is not being spied on. On the microblogging site Twitter, Musk posts a picture which reads, "Does anyone else feel like they're being watched?" And while replying to that, a user wrote, You are 24/7 on all your devices and online services, including your own Starlink. In your case, is it not just mass surveillance? You are a priority target. And then he responded, I would be shocked if I'm not being spied on. My only ask is that anyone spying on me, please not affect call quality too much, or I cannot hear what is being said. He so casually said that. But Musk is actually a very positive guy, because he went on in that tweet thread, he went on to remind people that every day is a fresh start, and then one can always choose to be happy. And he also went on to say that tomorrow will be the first sunrise of the rest of your life. Make it what you want.
I like that.
That's pretty cool,
right? I like that, Elon. That's very nice.
And he also added, and remember that happiness is a choice.
Yeah, it is.
And on this poster, man, I'll be being spied on. He starts going on a motivational
tangent.
What
an interesting guy.
And then
very unpredictable.
He also then shared a snarky cartoon of himself as a rescuer of a blue bird. And it was like a Shapiro, you know, that artist was like that kind of style drawing pen art. And it's Elon standing in front of a birdcage, opening it up. And inside the birdcage is the Twitter logo.
Oh, wow.
And
that really looks like him,
right? It's pretty cheeky because he's kind of saying he's freeing Twitter.
Yeah, that's very cool.
And while we're saying that, he's also being sued by a Twitter investor for dumping the price of the stock.
Is it just one person?
Yeah, one of the investors is suing him for, obviously, that hurts, you know, in stock. But then there's also whispers at the moment in tech that people in Silicon Valley are trying to find a way into the Twitter deal as well. They're also trying to get a piece of Twitter now that Elon is interested in it.
Did you know that Elon Musk has got a double? It's a guy from China. He's called Yilong Ma.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah, that's very similar.
Elon actually said he wants to meet this guy.
That's very good. That's very good. Next, we're taking a look at some scientists who have accomplished something quite interesting. They've managed to grow real cells on a robot skeleton.
Oh, dear.
But they don't exactly know what to do with those cells yet. So it's a new method of tissue engineering and is currently only a proof of concept for now. So the science of tissue engineering, or growing human cells for use in medicine, is very much in its infancy, with only the simplest lab-grown cells able to be used in experimental treatments today. But researchers say a new method of tissue engineering could potentially improve the quality of this work, growing the cells on a moving robot skeleton. Typically, cells used in this sort of regenerative medicine are grown in static environments, like a petri dish or a miniature 3D scaffolding kind of thing. A few experiments in the past have shown that cells can be grown on moving structures like hinges, but these have only stretched or bent the tissue in a single direction. But researchers from the University of Oxford and robotics firm Devanthro thought that if you want to grow matter designed to move and flex like tendons or muscle, it would be better to recreate their natural growing environment as accurately as possible. So they decided to approximate a mobile human body to attempt to grow the cells on. Growing cells in an actual person creates all sorts of difficulties, of course, so the cross-disciplinary team decided to approximate the human musculoskeletal system as best they could using a robot, as described in a paper published in Communications Engineering. They adapted an open source robot skeleton designed by the engineers and created a custom growing environment for the cells that can be fitted into the skeleton to bend and flex as required. So ultimately, they chose the shoulder portion of this robotic skeleton. It kind of just looks like some kind of robotic kind of stuff, which resembles the movement that you would make in your shoulder.
Yeah.
And they they created a bioreactor that could be fitted to the robot shoulder, consisting of strings of biodegradable filament stretched between two anchor points like a hank of hair, with the entire structure enclosed within a balloon-like outer membrane, and they managed to actually achieve growth. So they for 30 minutes each day, the bioreactor was slotted in and it grew. And what they've realized is there is some differences growing cells on something that physically moves all the time. But they don't necessarily know if those differences are beneficial or non-adventitious. You know, they don't know. And it's about exploring that avenue and seeing if it's possible. But there's a lot of use cases in being able to grow cells remotely. And a lot of people would disagree and a lot of people would agree with it. And it is a controversial topic. But being able to replace someone's eye with a real eye that is accepted by the body, you know, let's move towards something like that. We're always hindered by, you know, like if you need a kidney replacement,
yeah,
you need to wait for a donor that matches you perfectly.
Exactly, yeah.
You might have, you know, a long road ahead of you waiting for that to happen. But if it could be genetically created and it saves your life, it's better than passing away and extending your life slightly.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even waiting for a proper kidney. Who knows? But this is the small steps that make big leaps in the future.
Yeah.
That we'll probably keep tracking. And finally, as our last item of today, My Broadband has done a survey on South Africa's top-rated internet service providers. The report is based on 250,000 speed tests and customer satisfaction ratings collected through the My Broadband speed test app between the 1st of April 2022 and the 31st of May 2022. So the methodology ensures that the ISP ratings are impartially generated directly from customer votes. And these are the current, this is how the current leaderboard is looking. So rated number one
is
Cool Ideas.
Who?
Probably more popular in Cape Town and Joburg.
Oh, is it? Okay.
So a lot of these will be more popular in the city centre.
So the ISP is actually called Cool Ideas.
Cool Ideas. Okay. And they've won ISP of the Year award for like the last 3 years.
Congratulations.
So they had an 86% customer satisfaction. Home Connect came in second. Supersonic came in third.
I'm really behind. I don't recognize these names.
The next one you'll recognize coming in at number fourth was AfriHost.
There we go.
Okay, with a 74% satisfaction. Number five was Access.
I know, yeah.
Coming in with a 74%. Mm-hmm. This I didn't expect. Next is MTN.
MTN?
MTN.
Okay.
All right, MTN is 2, 3, 4, 5, 6th. 7th is Internet Solutions. 8th is Web Africa. 9th is Rain.
Oh,
Rain.
I'm just seeing complaints about Rain.
Rain, but we're at 68% satisfaction. Then Cell C. Then Vodacom.
Hey, where's MWeb?
Then MWeb. Oof. At 62%.
Oh, that's not good.
And coming in dead last.
Telkom. I was wondering where Telkom would be on that thing. Okay, so at the bottom, that makes sense.
Right at the bottom. With some of the worst like speed tests.
Really?
You know, the worst performing speed tests.
Well, it makes sense.
Well.
I was expecting that.
Ah, yeah, you got it. You know.
Yeah, I just didn't recognize those names at the top.
No, I couldn't believe how hard he recognized the top three.
Yeah.
I thought AfriHost would be a little bit higher.
I thought MWeb would be a little bit higher, yeah. But it's probably not the same anymore.
So no.
But
interesting to know, you know, moral of the story, don't get your fiber from Telkom. See if you can see anyone in that list above. But even Rain doesn't offer fiber either. But Rain, I've heard
not good stuff about it. I've also heard some hectic stuff on social media about Rain. And we're not talking about the rain falling out from the sky. We're talking about the actual ISP. People saying that they oversell and they overload their infrastructure and stuff. And then they expect people to share that very limited bandwidth and creates big speed problems. People want out of their contracts, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and they lock you into like a long contract sometimes.
Yeah, and people want out, you know, there's like legal, people posting legal stuff, how they want to get out of those contracts and false advertising claims, all that kind of stuff.
It is very true.
So, allegedly, Rain's not very good.
and they scored better than Telkom. So, I mean, like, what does that say about poor Telkom?
Exactly. Well, that's it for another week. And I think we made up for lost time, the time we lost last week.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it was double whammy today.
No, it's been a good week of tech. There's definitely some stories that we want to track. But there will be more that happens over the next week,
I'm sure. Kane, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your week and the weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you very much, Ian. You too. And to all of our listeners, thanks for listening. Chat to you guys next week. Bye-bye.